open to chapter 41 of the book of Job.
We only have one more chapter to go as we continue in the study of God's suffering servant. This particular chapter, God describes for Job, his servant, the characteristics of a creature that he created that Job in no way or in any way wise could understand. And I want to pick it up at verse 14. And at verse 14, God, he asks Job the last question in a battery of 20 questions. And then he goes on in his great wisdom to describe the creature Leviathan that he created. And I would remind you, this is God speaking, and that God literally did create this creature. And although this creature may be extinct today, and by the way, none of us could actually prove that, God created Leviathan, an awesome creature. God says, as we pick it up in verse 14, who can open the door of his face or his mouth? His teeth are terrible round about. His scales are his pride, shut up together as with a closed seal. One is so near to the other that no air can come between them. They are joined one to another. They stick together that they cannot be sundered. By his sneezing, a light doth shine, and his eyes are like the eyelids of the morning. And out of his mouth go burning lamps, and sparks of fire leap out. Out of his nostrils goeth smoke, as out of a seething pot or cauldron. His breath kindleth coals, and a flame goeth out of his mouth. In his neck remaineth strength, and sorrow is turned into joy before him. The flakes of his flesh are joined together. They are firm in themselves. They cannot be moved. His heart is as firm as a stone, yea, as hard as a piece of the nether millstone. When he raises up himself, the mighty are afraid by reason of the breakings. They purify themselves. The sword of him that layeth at him cannot hold the spear, the dart, nor the havinger. He esteemeth iron as straw and brass as rotten wood. The arrow cannot make him flee. Sling stones are turned with him into stubble. Darts are counted as stubble. He laugheth at the shaking of a spear. Sharp stones are under him. He spreadeth sharp pointed things upon the mire. He maketh the deep to boil like a pot. He maketh the sea like a pot of ointment. He maketh a path to shine after him. One would think the deep to be hoary. Upon earth there is not his like, who is made without fear. He beholdeth all things. He is king over all the children of pride. Amazing, this creature that God himself created and described to Job. Father, as we look into your word, may we be just all struck at your creation and your awesome power, and even your purpose behind all that you do. Bless us now in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. It seems the creation of scary monsters to be sort of a staple of our entertainment culture. Some of these monsters have been created from myth and others from a legend. The least is the Loch Ness Monster. The Loch Ness Monster has captured the minds of children and adults alike for many, many years. And this great aquatic being allegedly inhabits Loch Ness in the Scottish Highlands. It is very similar to other supposed lake monsters that supposedly existed in Scotland and other places. And they are often described as being large with a long neck. And interesting enough, described pretty much the way the Bible describes Leviathan. In fact, throughout history, we have motifs of dragons that look very much like the way our God described Leviathan. Popular interest and belief in the Loch Ness Monster has varied since it was brought to worldwide attention through the photograph back in 1993. Evidence of its existence today is very circumstantial. However, according to the book of Job, there did exist a sea monster that God himself described to, again, his suffering servant Job. It lurked in the depths of the sea. Now, paleontologists and scientists would say no such creature exists today. And many of those photographs of the Loch Ness Monster were fakes. And they'd be right. Some of them were fakes. But not one of us could say that this creature is extinct but God. I like how Dr. Ken Ham describes knowing for sure if a creature is really extinct, you would have to have observers in every place of their known habitat at the exact same time reporting back to each other to tell us whether or not this particular creature is extinct. Folks, only God knows. The fact of the matter is the Bible says that God created this creature. And I do believe that the Bible is absolute and that tradition and history bears out that such a creature like Loch Ness Monster existed. More accurately, I like to call it what God called it, Leviathan. Do you know that you can go on the internet and you can type in the word monsters and you will see that in every culture there is depictions of monsters. And do you know, as I studied that, every culture had something very, very similar to Leviathan, a dragon of some sorts. In every culture, even the Japanese. Interesting. Now, God questioned Job with what he could not know. And he reveals Job's ignorance of this incredible beast. In fact, this is the second example. I hope all of you remember Behemoth. Behemoth was a land reptile, creature. Behemoth, we said, most likely was what we would describe today to be a dinosaur. After the discussion of Behemoth in Job chapter 40, God called Job to consider another fearful creation, Leviathan. And God gives Job a look at this remarkable creature that only God could know so intimately, amen? Because God created all that is. And by the way, God created it out of nothing. Try doing that sometime. This second example of this awesome creature is what chapter 41 of Job is all about. Here God overwhelms his servant Job with 20 questions about Leviathan. I wonder if that's where that cliche came from. What is this, 20 questions? Because if you count the questions in chapter 41 from verses 1 through 14, there are 20 questions. And Job cannot answer a one of them. He does not know the attributes of Leviathan. He does know Leviathan exists. And I'm going to point that out to you in a few minutes. Now, the name Leviathan means twisting one. Often, Bible scholars in the past, and even some today, who believe in the allegorical method of interpreting the Bible, will say Leviathan is a picture of the devil. And I'm okay with that. But this is a literal creature. And my study of the Bible is we are to have a proper hermeneutics of Scripture. Where the literal sense makes sense, we are not to seek any other sense. Amen? And the literal sense makes sense that God is saying to Job, can you understand such an awesome creature as Leviathan? God has a purpose in presenting these two awesome creatures before his suffering servant Job. Now you might be wondering, now why in the world would God describe these monsters before this poor guy? He's suffering. He doesn't know why he's going through this. And God comes breaking through in the whirlwind. Remember chapter 38? And starts barraging him with all of these questions. I want you to remember that God always has a purpose. And God always seeks for our good. You may not believe that. But I hope you do by the time we finish chapter 42 of the book of Job. This creature was first mentioned by Job himself in chapter 3. I want you to take your Bible and go to chapter 3 with me, the verse 8. Job, if you remember, was explaining and lamenting of his suffering condition. You remember that? And in verse 8, he said, speaking of mariners, he says in verse 8, let them curse it. Now we don't know what it is yet, okay? Let them curse it that curse the day who are ready to raise up their mourning. And Job takes this picture of these mariners cursing the day they were born because of this creature that they came face to face with in the depths. And he said, just as they cursed the day they saw Leviathan, I curse the day I was born. Remember when he said that? Now you say, but Pastor, I don't see the word Leviathan in chapter 3 and verse 8. That's because you're reading it in English. It was written in Hebrew. And if you were to go to a Hebrew Bible, the word that the translators translated morning is actually the word Leviathan. And it is used sometimes in the Bible to give the concept of one in sorrow or one who's fearful, because the name Leviathan struck fear into the hearts of men when they were out on the sea and they came face to face with this creature. It was a sorrowful thing for sailors to run into Leviathan. They could destroy a ship like it was rotten wood. Go back to chapter 41, and isn't that what God said? He, verse 27, esteemeth iron as straw. Wow. He is so powerful that if he comes across iron, he can bend it like straw. I mean, that's stronger than Superman. You know, you're the cliche, Superman can bend steel in his bare hands. Sounds like, to me, he has to make an effort to do it. But Leviathan, when it comes to him bending iron, he don't even esteem it as anything. It's but straw. And brass is as rotten wood. And so I want you to picture these mariners upon the sea as they're trying to get their goods from one place to another, and they come face to face with this sea monster. Fear strikes their heart. And so the word Leviathan in the Hebrew also became synonymous with fear and sorrow. Are you with me? Say amen. Okay, good. Let's go back to God questioning Job. So we know that the Bible mentions this creature in other places. We know that even Job understood there was such a creature. He didn't understand it. He didn't know the characteristics of it other than that it was a fearful monster. Now, other commentators identify Leviathan as a crocodile. I almost laughed at that. And we talked about that last week when we were looking at Behemoth, that the Bible scholars of old said, well, that was a hippopotamus. But I remind you that paleontologists didn't discover reptile bones, or what we call dinosaurs, until 1821. And so many of those commentaries, like Matthew Henry, Spurgeon, and all of those were rewritten. And today, most of them will say this was possibly a dinosaur. Some would say an extinct dinosaur from millions of years ago, which I would not agree with, because I do believe that the Bible in this book is saying that they coexisted with man. And we went over that last time and all of the specifics about that. If you missed that sermon, you should go listen to it. It is on the church web. Well, the name Leviathan is also used in Psalm 74, verses 12 to 14, where Leviathan is described as this huge sea serpent. And not only that it was this huge sea serpent, but that God broke the head. Actually, it's the word rosh, which is plural in Hebrew, which conveys more than one head. And I don't even want to think about that, although there's been motifs of dragons with two or three heads. How many have you seen that? Yes, there are. And very possibly there are creatures with two or three heads. I don't know, but this is the verse that could substantiate that. And I studied the verse in the Hebrew, and the word rosh is a word for head or ruler. But it also can refer to an animal's head. And in the passage, it's plural. And we all know what plural means, more than one. And in this psalm, the psalmist describes the power of Almighty God, that God is so strong that he can break the heads, and that he literally broke this sea monster and destroyed it so he could feed the Israelites. So God killed it for the Israelites, and they feasted on the carcass of this dead creature. Isaiah chapter 27 and verse 1 speaks of the future defeat of Leviathan and associates him as with the twisted serpent. And of course, from that, the analogy or the allegory could be that God is speaking about defeating the devil, Satan. And that's true too. And we need to understand that there are times where certain creatures in the Bible are used figuratively, but there are times in the Bible where these creatures are used literally. So if taken literally, the text will show that Leviathan was reptilian-like, dinosaur-like. Isaiah recorded also that Leviathan was the dragon of the sea. In Isaiah 27 and verse 1, you look it up later. The psalmist also recorded Leviathan played in the ocean like it was a swimming pool. Leviathan played in the great and wide sea. He played in it like his swimming pool. Now, there's none of us that could say this creature doesn't exist. And maybe a few, certainly don't say all, photographs and even some satellite pictures have revealed some strange creatures in the depths of the ocean. Well, you know what? We have not been able to fathom the depths of the ocean yet. We can get down there pretty far. I know we're down as far as the Titanic because Gary was saying eventually you're going to take you on a trip down there if you want to go. Right, Gary? But we certainly have not been able to pioneer the depths of the ocean, and so maybe these creatures or a few of them still exist. Now, God questions Job with 20 questions. God said in verse 1 of chapter 41 to Job, he's again continuing his interrogation. He started with Behemoth. And Job, tell me all about Behemoth. And he couldn't. And then he says in verse 1, canst thou draw Leviathan with a hook? He's basically saying, hey Job, can you put a bait on the end of a hook and cast it in the ocean and catch Leviathan? That's a joke. God has a sense of humor, folks. Read this. He says, can his tongue, can you capture him with a cord? Can you let down like a trap on a cord and pull Leviathan out of the ocean? Canst thou put a hook into his nose or bore his jaw through with the thorn? You listen, if this was a crocodile, then the answer would be yes. Am I right? We all learned that when we saw Crocodile Dundee and his big Bowie knife in which he killed a crocodile. But this is not a crocodile. Many crocodiles have been captured and even placed in zoos. Captured with ropes, captured with hooks, captured all different ways. Many men have killed crocodiles with only a knife. But you're not going to kill this creature with any knife or spear. And so this is the barrage of questions that God is asking Job. And he had awareness of this creature. But he couldn't answer these. Will he make many supplications unto thee? Will he speak soft words to thee? Well, first of all, as far as we know, these animals don't speak. But what he's saying is, will it beg you for mercy? When Leviathan came across these mariners, he did not fear man or beg for man's mercy or pity. He did not speak to man softly. He growled and roared as the monster that he is. And so that was the answer. There's no way he was not going to submit to puny man. Will he make a covenant with thee? Will thou take him for a servant? In other words, can you make a pet out of Leviathan like you do a bird? No way. That's what he's saying. Will thou play with him as a bird? There it is. Or will thou bind him for thy mane? In other words, captured him to let little girls play with him like a pet. No way. Shall the companions make a banquet of him? Only one who made a banquet of him was God. Amen. We read that in the book of Psalms. God crushed the heads of Leviathan and brought it out of the sea to feed the people of Israel. That's recorded in a Psalm. Verse 7, canst thou fill his skin with barbed iron or his head with fish spears? You can't kill this thing like that. Oh, lay thy hand upon him and remember the battle. You will do it no more. In other words, if you get into a fight with this creature, you're as good as dead. And many sailors have found that out. But what amazes me about the questioning that God kind of barrages his servant Job is when he gets to this point where this creature breathes fire. And yet I did some studying on this, and they say that that's not so impossible. I kind of thought it was. But you heard how God described this creature. He says, none, verse 10, is so fierce that dare stir him up. Who then is able to stand before me? Now you would think, well, God would say, well, who would be able to stand before it? Right? Well, God doesn't say that to Job, does he? What is God now doing here in that verse? Who is able to stand before me? I hope you picked that up because it's important. What was Job saying? Come here, God, and stand before me and answer for why I am suffering. Right? And God is saying to Job, you can't even ask Leviathan to stand before you. How are you going to ask me? Who had prevented me that I shouldeth repay whatsoever is under the whole heavens is mine? God created all that there is. I will not conceal his parts, nor his power, nor his comely proportions. Who can discover the face of his garments? Who can come to him with his double bridle? It's the way he was created. You know, the shield upon his torso. Who can open the door of his mouth? That's talking about his mouth. The door is his mouth. His teeth are awesome. And then he goes on, as you read with me through the rest of the chapter, how God describes Leviathan. And in verse 14 and B, God stops the questioning and God begins to shift to telling Job how awesome he created Leviathan. It scales like rows of shields tightly sealed together. He read that with me. Verse 18 to 21, he speaks of Leviathan as a dragon breathing fire. Now, dragon legends recorded that dinosaurs did not have this capability, but that possibly dragons, sea dragons, did. In fact, motifs of these dragons are seen with fire coming out of their mouths. There are indications that they were able to produce and expel combustible gases which could have ignited when they came into contact with oxygen. Something about what they breathed out came into contact with oxygen and ignite it. And we know that that's a possibility, right? This description of Leviathan seems much more like what we would think of when we think of a dragon. He brings terror and even To the mighty he brings fear, God says in this passage. What I like is how God closes, and again, we read from verses 14 to 34 as God described it, and I'm not going to try to describe it any better than God. I like how he says in verse 34, he beholdeth all high things. In other words, he is above all of those who think they're are so prideful that they're stronger than him. He is king over the children of pride. The word pride there actually is a word that conveys lion. Whereas lion is the king of the jungle, the Leviathan is king over all beasts. And that is what God is saying. Now, you're probably sitting here and going, okay, now God just scared Job to death with Behemoth and Leviathan. And why did God do this? Well, I think most of us now understood that God was trying to get Job to see he had no right to question him, that he is God. And sometimes we question God, don't we, about why is he letting this and that and the other thing go on in our lives. And it's okay in the sense that we question, but it's not okay when we demand, as Job did, meet before me because I am righteous and I don't deserve this. And that was Job's attitude. God called Job to consider these unconquerable beasts, each in their own way, were examples, by the way, of the power of Satan. I'm almost done, but this is important. And who was the monster that was really bringing havoc in the life of Job? Chapter 1. Chapter 2. Who was it? Satan, the devil. God never told Job the story behind his story. In this, God allowed Job to consider the fact that he could not stand before the power of Satan without God empowering him. And let that be a lesson to all of us. Amen. We're living in a day and age where people think that they could do one-on-one with the devil. Right? I mean, we see it on TV. You see, you know, a priest, he gets his holy water and he's sprinkling on the demon that's possessing a person. I told you, I think last time, the only way to get a demon out is to get Christ in. And that's a personal decision. When we find somebody that's demon possessed, we need to reach their soul. Don't dare challenge the demon. The only one to add the ability and the power to do that was Christ, and he gave temporarily that power to his disciples. Only God could defeat Leviathan. And that's what he was trying to illustrate to Job. Job, could you capture this Leviathan? Could you capture and destroy Behemoth? No. Well, there's no way. If you can't beat those guys, there's no way you're going to tackle with Lucifer. Are you getting it now? Okay. Only God could defeat the devil. Because God created Lucifer, who, by the way, became Satan. God did not create Satan or the devil. God created a glorious creature known as Lucifer, the bearer of light, who hovered over the Shekinah glory of God's throne. This was God's way of saying he was not alone, because if he were, then he surely would have been crumbled before the power of Leviathan and Behemoth. God ends his words to Job without ever telling him the story behind the story. Job was left ignorant about the contest between God in heaven and Satan that prompt this whole crisis. Now I want you to just kind of step back. I want you to take a deep breath. I want you to think about what might be going on in your life. So I can't get victory over it. Well, admit that. And once you realize you can't get victory over it because you don't have any control over it, who are you going to give it to? Amen. Though Job did not know the whole story, God did tell him of his great victory over Leviathan, didn't he? And over Satan is basically what it was saying. Giving Job assurance for the past, the present, and for the future. And listen, God has given you the victory over death, the devil, and even the demons of your flesh. God has already given you the victory. You know what our problem is? And hey, I have it too. I struggle too. Is we forget to acknowledge who we belong to. First thing you all acknowledge is that you, if you're born again, you are a child of the King. Amen? You belong to God. You belong to God. You are a child of the King. And God loves you. And even though there are times, you know, God allows things to happen in our lives, and we kind of wonder, God, where's all this loving compassion that you said you had? I mean, listen, I laid in the hospital for 10 days after open heart surgery, and don't you think I asked some of those questions? But in that humble state, I realized that God loves me and that the Bible is true. And that regardless of what our state is in life, God is good. If you ever lose sight of that, of who God is, the attributes of who God is, you will crumble. Because God didn't say life will be good to you. He said, I am good. And that He loves you. And I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. God loves you. He has given us the victory over death. He has already given us the victory over Satan and the victory over the demons of our own flesh. It is time that we acknowledge that. Just acknowledge it. Thank you, Father, for saving me. And when we come to these crossroads in life, and we will, you will have a greater peace, comfort, and courage. Because you know your Heavenly Father is with you. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. It's like that beautiful poem, Footprints of Jesus. You know, the author said, well, I was going through the hardest times and then I looked forward and then you left me. There was only one footprint there in the sand. What was that all about? He says, my son, that's when I carried you. Let's have every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, I did my best to do your will here this morning. Quite frankly, Father, you know that I did not know where you wanted this message to go, but you've taken it where you desired it to go. From it, I pray that all that are here are born again, are saved, and have a reassurance that they have victory over death, Satan, and the flesh. May we realize that we are your children, we are a child of the King, and you have our very best interest at heart. And the day is coming that we will be absent from this body and all of the suffering of it, and we will be forever present with you and given someday a glorious body to serve you in the kingdom to come. Bless us. Courage us with these thinkings and truths. But we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.